right now, you know, to understand our past helps us understand where we are now. And I tried to do that a little bit with you last week, to understand where we seem to be unable to sustain, but it's good sometimes because of the fall, but we'll come to that another time. But as I've looked at, it's always good for us, I think, to look at our biblical origins. We're surrounded by myths and ideas and philosophies about how it all happened. This is how God wants us to understand it. So chapter 1, if you like, it's the stage. If we view it like a production like that, it's the stage. And the stage in chapter 1 of Genesis is the cosmos. And it's very interesting. Is God is mentioned 30 times in that one chapter. And I said last week it had 76 root words in it, and it's one continual sentence in the Hebrew. It's an incredible piece of literature, and it's incredible, and it's all about God. It's about Him. We start with God, and we finish with God. It's interesting that it says the very first verse is in the beginning. In the beginning, God, before anything existed, He was. He exists, if you like, eternally. God always was. If you say, where's God come from? God always was. There's no attempt in the Bible to explain where God came from. We want to know, where did He come from? But He has no beginning. There's no attempt to explain His origin. He was always been there, and that's what we stand on in faith. God has always been. See, that's interesting, that, because God's very nature is conveyed, that always being, as He reveals His name in chapter 2. In chapter 1, it talks about God. I'm not going into all the ins and outs of that. It's just a generic word for God. But by chapter 2, we get the Lord God, which is an English equivalent for the word Yahweh. That's His name. Not Jehovah. You can misspell Jehovah. God's name from the Hebrew letters without anything else, as the Bible, everybody understands to be Yahweh. Doing a veil with it, by the way, but we won't go into that. Otherwise, I'll get totally lost. Linda has to correct me, which I'm not sure. She doesn't think she will today, which is good. And the word Yahweh means to be. To be. He simply is. Now that's something that we, as human beings, find impossible to get into. But let's hold on to something that's much bigger than ourselves. Bigger than what's going on in the world. Bigger than the loss of jobs and the chaos in the world. God is. He simply is. That's who He is. He is the Creator. I'm going to come back to Yahweh God, Yahweh Creator, a little later on this morning. But what I want to do is to set the stage, if you like. The stage is that God, who always was, speaks and creation takes place. Now that is awesome, brother. Isn't it? You think that's awesome? I do. I think it's absolutely mind-boggling. You know, that's beyond our wildest understanding. There's no attempt to make this a scientific book, by the way. But it's interesting how these ancient Hebrews, who were just nomadic, when it was written down in the time of Moses, probably, it's the most cohesive piece of literature to a modern mind. If you look at other origins from around the time, they were all gods cutting themselves in half and all sorts of odd things that don't attract the mind of a modern person, and they just faded away from our mindset. But here we see something that is altogether different. So that's, I'm going to come back to the stage set with Yahweh God. But chapter 2 that we've just read is all about the cards. We move from the big to get it into the local, if you like, the view from the tree state, the view right down there, if you like. And the focus of is changed. It's now about the apex of God's creation that he calls very good, chapter 1, the view of humankind. I don't want to call it mankind, but that's how we were, man as a species, male and female. But we call it as, you know, to be humankind. And the focus is now on Adam and Eve. They're given the prominence, the leading role, if you like, in this drama. They've got the prominent role in God's paradigm. And I talked about paradigm last time. And I also talked last time about the fact that actually you can quite easily translate Adam as dusty, because he's made from the dust of the ground, and made from the earth. And so he was probably called dusty. You know, it's a bit of a nickname by God. I want you to note the shift as well in the scripture here from chapter 1, where we are called male and female. He made them male and female. And there's an emphasis. Change here. Names are revealed. Yes, Adam, Dusty, and Eve. Now, when names are used, I don't know anything, but God, there are names for animals, but God gives Adam a name, Adam gives Eve her name, and God's name is revealed in chapter 2. He moves from being God, generic name for the creator, to Yahweh God. Names talk about what do they talk about? They talk about being something personal relationship. To know somebody's name, actually, shows that you know them. To use somebody's name means you know them. Or you name a child, don't you? You know that child, it's your child, you name that child. Or the names that you use. So we're not numbers, we give names. We talk about personality, about relationships. If people that don't know me, actually, often call me, if I get on the call, Reverend Picard, and I go, yes, Reverend Picard here. You know, I even change your voice, don't you, when you do that sort of thing. Hello, you know. And it depends if I'm buying or selling, if I want to use a title like that. All right? Friends, and Lynn, and family, and you lot as well, call me Brian, because you know. And it talks about a relationship, doesn't it? Do you agree with that? Are you with me with that? Hopefully you are, so I'm picking across, I'm coming back to the house. And so, Yahweh God walked and talked with Adam, Dusty, and with Eve. And her name, according to David Gutenberg, could literally mean lively. Lively Eve. Yeah, you've learned something this morning, Wayne, I can see that. It could literally mean lively. So she, we had a visit from my sister yesterday, and she might be 81, but she's lively. You know, I'd call her a lively person. So Eve was obviously had lots of life in her as well. Now, going further on this idea of, so you've not thought about these scriptures like this before. We get sidetracked with the days and evolutionary things, but let's move past that so that we have a greater look at this scripture. There were two little poems, actually, in chapter 1 and 2. Did you know that? So it's not just telling us the story. There's poetry in it as well. Actually poetry from God and man. It's a poetry. You only use poetry when you're in a relationship. I've tried writing poetry. It's really awful. Some of you are much better at it than me, but you tend to use poetry. It's a bit of art, isn't it, really? And there are two little poems here that you can easily mix. They're not prose, it's poetry. And you wonder where they are. Well, the first one is in Genesis 27. and it doesn't come over terribly well necessarily, this poetry in the English, but it's definitely there in the Hebrew. Verse 27, it says, so God created mankind, or man, in his own image. In the image of God, he created the male and female. He created. Now, there's a double emphasis there, which is very common in Hebrew poetry, for instance. It's a double emphasis to emphasize something. It's a poetic way of thinking. It's God has created them, and they're very good, and he loves them very much. So when Yahweh God is considering the beauty of man and female presented before him, he thinks, yeah, this is very good. God created them in his own image. The second one, which we look at a little bit as well, helps us understand that humans are meant to be in relationship with God and him with them, can easily be missed as well. If you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, you can see it. That doesn't come over terribly well in my translation. This is the second bit of poetry here. And it says, and the man said, after God brought him eat, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become friends. Man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. Well, that's another thing for another day, maybe. But you see, well, that doesn't sound terribly poetic. But actually, David Paulson suggests what he's actually saying there is, well, yes, the animals were in it, but well, this is it. She's beautiful. They're one with God, and they're also one with each other. God has made us to be one with him and one with each other. So that's a quick overview of chapter 2 at a level, or chapter 1. And I will look at chapter 3 a little bit maybe next time. That's if anyone wants to come next time. But I want to go back to Yahweh God. I want to finally finish with that. What can we learn from the scripture we read, and hopefully you have read chapter 2? And what can we learn about the Creator? What have we learned so far from these scriptures that can so easily be missed if you read it just with your head and not with your heart and spiritual eyes? You know, I could be talking to you about, are they literal days? Are they God days? Is there a gap between verses 1 and 2? And we get so worked up about that. Can things evolve outside of their own species and all those sorts of things? And there's a relevance to all that stuff. But actually, this is about God. And we need to focus our attentions on who has put us here on planet Earth. What have we learned so far? And it's easy to understand. That he's personal. That he has a heart that he feels. That he has a mind that he thinks. And that he has a will that acts. You agree with that? Hopefully you do. You're all looking very miserable for a minute. Have a little smile at the screen and make me feel a bit happier. We were saying, I talked to another pastor this week, that it's very hard to judge how people are feeling, you know, on a screen like this. So it's quite good if every now and again, have a little smile or a nod. You can't say amen. Perhaps you should write a little card and hold it up, amen, or preach on pastor or something. It might encourage us. God's got a heart. He's got a mind that thinks, he's got a will that acts. He's powerful. He just says it. He makes 10 commands in chapter 1, and they're done. 10 commands, and it all takes place in chapter 1. It's done. He's orderly and creative. You think about it. There's no two clouds in the sun. No two snowflakes that are the sun. And there are no two human beings created in the image of God, out of the sun. That he's creative, but he's orderly. He's not creative. He's always been. I'd like to talk about these things, but I haven't got time, but I'll just show them at you that I might catch up for another time. That God is portrayed in these chapters as like us. He walks and he talks. He hears. Later when you see God explaining to him language with eyes and a nose and the hand of God. But he's not like us. Why? Because he creates. And we can only make from what already exists. His creation is from nothing of this we know. But I'll look at what it means to be made in the image of God at another time, I think, if you're right with that. But he's very much living, active God who personally communicates with his creation. He's not just made us, we're not a plaything of God. He wants a relationship. He's our creator. He's our God. He's our King. And he's beyond yours and my wildest dreams. He's God. He's Yahweh God. He's not almighty, he's almighty. And yet there is almighty as well. He has such a mind, such a power, such character and such a love. Surely, brothers and sisters, as his creatures and as his adopted children through faith in Christ, his son, he calls us to love him, to respect him, and to obey him. All possible with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I don't do this very often. I haven't done it for a while, but as I've got a couple of minutes, and I have just got a couple of minutes, if you want to make a short observation of what I've said, or could ask a question, of what I've done is an overview, so it's not a specific bore into it. If you indicate to Wayne, he unmutes yourself, and you please make a comment. Don't have to. No? No thoughts on that? You're way quiet about it, you're not saying anything.
Can I just say that I quite, what came up there was the relationship there.
Yeah.
And you're right, it's quite easy to just read through what happened on a daily basis, but it was the expression that came with each part of the relationship. The poetry indicated a relationship, God to man and man to woman, which actually I've never quite felt that before.
Thank you. I don't think I've seen it until David Paulson opened that door. So it took him many hours. I've only had 15 minutes for me to share that with you. But yeah, it's just mind-boggling, isn't it? Any other? Yes, Rasuna. Push your mute.
Thank you, Brian. The thing here is that actually I have some sad feeling about it because we're sitting here speaking about this awesome, wonderful God that he chose to give his image to us. It's a privilege beyond any. And the sadness is that sometimes we just overlook it and take it for granted. So thank you for this amazing, powerful reminder. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. If you've got another thought, I'll leave you with one further thought.
Yeah, thank you. I think for me, one of the things that springs out is how God is really interested in, he's lyrical, and he's interested in a relationship that goes beyond even conversation. That so when we look, for example, when we look in a mirror, what do we see? But God wants to mirror us within, or us mirror him, if you like. And I think that's amazing because we're created in his image. So everything, the good that we have or that we see, and that possibly collectively we reflect his image.
Thank you, Tony. That's a really excellent point. Thank you. All I've done this morning is help you to think and reflect on those things so we bypass where we were and so we can just and meditate and muse on this great God of ours who has got a name, who has always wanted to be with us. Notice that he walks in the garden when it's cool, not in the day, you know, in the middle of the day, when it's cool, so he can chat and we are a new creation. At the cross, the resurrection, God recreated, started something new in his Son. Now, I'll leave that thought with you. If you want to read more on that, you'll have to go online and read some of the things that David Paulson said about that. Let's not go any further because that we're really confused. Phil, if you're all right, while we've got Bassam alive, Bassam, why don't you lead us in some prayers and then we'll have the song afterwards, Phil, if that's okay. Are you okay with that? Let's do that now.